Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguistov team.
Order a free English lesson with us at www.linguistov.ru.
And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru.
Hello, hello!
No, I'm just, it's sort of, how do you call it?
You're imitating.
I'm imitating, yeah. I'm trying to sound cheery.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay. I think that it comes with our profession, because, you know, you have to sound cheerful. You can't say to your student, oh goodness, it was a horrible day, I don't want to talk
so
to you.
It's so true.
I heard that you had a storm. You had some,
yeah.
Some kind of a...
Hey.
What was it about?
The funniest thing about it was that I heard about this storm first from my brother, who happens to live in Nabrzhny Chelny. And he texted me in the morning, are you okay? Is everything fine with you? And I was like, why? Mm-hmm. Why are you asking me? I'm fine. And he's like, well, they say it on TV that you guys are having a terrible storm. And I'm like, are we? So, and to me, it was like a beautiful sunny day. So I just went outside for a walk with my dog as usual. I didn't notice any strange wind. Mm-hmm. So, and he showed me some pictures that he found on the internet. And I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe.
Well, you see, I was watching this the report on the news at night, and so they showed video. People were, you know, their umbrellas were breaking, and it was a horrible wind. And I thought, well, it's just a normal day in St. Petersburg.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I went for a walk. Of course, it was windy as usual.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was, yes, it was very windy, but as usual, posters were flying. Mm-hmm. And then when I was on my way back from the gym, I saw that the bus stop was all ruined.
Oh,
God. You know, they have these glass bus stops.
Right. Oh,
and
okay. I said that when you say bus stops, I imagine immediately those, what do you call it, these constructions that we have here in Nabrzhny Chelny, because
yeah,
you can't
break them.
Concrete. They're made of concrete, and so you can't break them. Yes. Yeah, so.
But here, no, I don't know whose idea it was, but they are made of glass, which means that they are very delicate and not ready for such conditions at all.
Uh-huh.
So the bus stop was no good, and that's it. No other harm, I think, was done in my area.
We actually, right now, there were two men in my apartment.
Two men?
Yeah, I think that they were taking measures from our balcony. So they entered with my mother, and right now they looked, so they peered, they opened the door of my room, and looked in. I don't know why. So both of them.
It was not your mother who actually...
No.
It was one of the guys. Wow.
Oh, both of them.
I think that was not polite.
I agree. It's not strange.
What if you were naked or...
I don't know. Yeah.
Or maybe doing something personal.
I don't know. Maybe they want to say hello or goodbye.
But they don't know you, man. Why would they open up your door and say hello?
People are strange here.
Just face it, they were very curious.
Yeah.
And they opened up the door to see what's going on in there.
Yeah, why am I laughing all by myself here?
Yeah, well, you know, it's our daughter. She's a bit strange.
That's why we keep her. We keep her
locked.
Door closed. Yeah.
We keep her locked all day long.
Yeah.
You know,
She sometimes speaks English just to herself. And yeah. We're not even sure that it's English.
Whether it's real English or not.
Exactly.
So, just, yeah.
Would you want to have a therapist, like, for example, just for some time, maybe?
I understand that. A psychotherapist is a professional listener,
mm-hmm.
to put it this way, yeah? So, and he may give you very important recommendation what to do, how not to react out of emotions, feelings, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How to react wisely in a certain situation. But at the same time, just the mere thought that you have a therapist means that this is his job. He's doing his job. It's not his personal choice to be involved in your life, mm-hmm. to help you. It's just his job. And that makes it a bit, you know, different. It becomes not a friendly relationship, but some kind of business type of relationship.
It's a business. I think that it's like a patient with doctor.
Patient-doctor relationship. Yeah. And again, you feel that he's superior, mm-hmm. you're inferior. So you're not equal. I think that would make me feel a bit uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably not. And I have certain friends who regularly go to psychologists,
mm-hmm.
or psychotherapists on a regular basis. They go there like every month, every 2 weeks. And I really wonder why they do it. Because they have enough friends to talk to. Why psychologists?
Maybe there are some things that you can't really say to anyone, that they would think that you are a weirdo or you have some really mental problems. And as this person, the psychotherapist, it's his job, it's his profession. He would look at it as if it was an illness, a sort of a mental illness. Or
would you share your problems with a psychotherapist?
Oh, if I had some really, you know, big problems.
Would you prefer to discuss them with your friend or with a psychologist or psychotherapist?
If it was a sort of problem that could damage my friendship,
mm-hmm.
With this person, then I would probably prefer a psychotherapist. But I guess that a friend is better, because, as you said, that he would be your equal,
and he would be more involved, because
mm-hmm.
He's not a stranger. He loves you. He wants you to get better. As for my mother, I know that she wants some involvement,
mm-hmm.
and if I didn't share any problems with her, that would seem strange.
Yeah.
So that's why I usually share some everyday problems with her, like, oh, we had a storm today. Oh, I have no hot water. Something, you know, something
mundane.
Yeah, something everyday, something yeah. that can happen in Nabryshny Chelny, in St. Petersburg, everywhere. And she sees some involvement, so she tries to help. Or like, mm-hmm. you know, it's been the third time I'm trying to cook, how are they called? Tvorozhniki.
Yeah.
And and it's a complete disaster. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I can't make them. She was trying to show me how to make tvorozhniki.
Did she give you Skype lessons?
She gave me Skype lessons, but that didn't help me, because this is exactly what I was doing. But for some reason, my tvorozhniki were very bad. I could hardly eat them, so I gave all of them to Lola.
Mm.
So I don't know, but she likes this kind of involvement. But of course, some more serious problems. Fortunately, I don't have any right now, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think I would share some more serious problems with my mother.
Have you ever imagined yourself, you know, in a kind of a you know stressful, very stressful situation, like for example being held hostage or I don't know, somewhere, natural disaster, would you think that you would panic at that time, or would you still behave rationally?
I think I'm a very rational person in general,
mm-hmm.
so I panic very rarely. I'm a very reserved person, actually, and it's very difficult for me to lose control. Yeah, but of course, just being a normal person, I do understand that it's just a matter of the seriousness of the situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky to not have been in this kind of stress. That's it. But of course, if something more serious happens, I think I would behave as predictably as everyone else would. What about you? Can you say that you are an anxiety maker?
Oh, I am an anxiety maker. I think that we are probably very different, you and I, because I think that I'm very emotional. Probably you know it. I am very emotional, and I think that I lose my head very easily. So I think that I would panic. I would probably hustle like a hen without a head. I would probably run around.
That was the best description of panic. Because how can you clearly explain it? Just a hen without a head.
Yeah.
The only thing that would influence my mood, my condition, is the somebody's subjective opinion, or somebody's wrong subjective opinion. That can be kind of offending, and I can lose control simply because this is wrong, you know, not because it's very important to me, or not because I knew everything. Somebody's subjective opinion can destroy my mood, so to say. But even in these situations, I just try to analyze how important is it. Well, it's just somebody's subjective opinion. Why? It's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just you can't take over it. And so I think I'm very cold-blooded on very important things.
You would be a great accomplice for a crime.
or a very great sportsman.
Oh, yeah.
How's that? A sportswoman? Is it better to say sportswoman?
I think that right now, because of this feminist movement, it's better to say sportsman. Because they don't want to be, you know, separated from men. They have the same rights.
Yeah, so I'd be a perfect sportsman.
Uh-huh.
Or a perfect criminal, because I'm cold-blooded. But again, if you tell me something offending during that day, I can be destroyed.
Oh my god.
That would be a shot of random, but you'd hit it. Because I remember when I was when I was doing my driving test, I did the theoretical part. I did very well. This maneuvering part, I also did very well. But when it came to driving in the city, and actually I was one of the best in the class, because I already had an American driver's license, but I needed the Russian driver's license. So I knew how to drive. I knew the rules. Everything was fine. I was one of the best. But my mistake was the traffic light. When we stopped at the traffic light, I just got overstressed, and I turned at the red light, which is a good thing to do in the United States, but not in Russia. And I didn't pass. And that was a very fatal mistake for me, because after that, I passed it 6 times. So 6 times after the first attempt.
So you made 6 attempts to pass it, or what?
I had 6 exams before I actually passed it.
Oh, okay.
I failed six exams.
Why? Is it because of stress?
No, because, you know, in Russia, you either pass the exam together with your school, or you either don't pass it.
Yeah.
So you either have to pass it when you have it, or it'll be a pain in the ass for you. So I was ready with everything, and I passed everything, but they just said, sorry, you have to come next time. I was like, what was my mistake? Well, come next time. So that's what they said. And that was every day, 5 days straight, five exams straight. And then the 6th exam, when I finally passed it, the examiner asked me, so what was wrong with you? Why is it the 6th attempt? I was like, I don't know. Nobody explained it to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really very discouraging. So every time I didn't pass, every time I failed, I was crying. Mm-hmm. I was overstressed because I was offended. Nobody even explained it to me because I knew that that was somebody's subjective opinion. They wanted maybe, I don't know, money, or maybe they just wanted to show their superiority, and that ruined me.
Well, yes, it was unfair.
It was unfair, exactly. So when something is unfair, then I lose control. Mm-hmm. But as long as it's fair, if I fail the exam but it's fair, mm-hmm. I'm fine. I'll be in a good mood. I'll tell you how next time. No, for real. If it's fair, I love when things are fair.
Mm-hmm.
I told you when I went to Finland, I didn't pay for the underground ticket simply because I didn't know where to pay for it. And then the controllers gave me the penalty for 40 euros just because I didn't have the underground ticket. I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, yeah, I'll pay it. Simply because I knew that I was wrong. I didn't have the ticket, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when something is fair, I'm fine with it. But when something is not fair, I start crying.
I wanted to go to the opening ceremony, or at least to the end. But we wanted to buy tickets, but I think that they were sold like within minutes, for the opening.
The opening ceremony. So how is it? You have to buy the tickets. No, it's not enough to go to Sochi.
No, it's not enough because you have to buy tickets. Because there are some stadiums, certain places, and you will not be able to enter them if you don't have a ticket.
That's bad. Yeah. I thought that a train ticket to Sochi will be enough.
You have to ask. Maybe you can come and give them a train ticket, you know, the entrance. And say, well, I came here. What's the problem?
I like the idea that Russia is hosting the Olympic Games, although I know that many people would disagree with me, especially those people who live in Sochi. I have a friend who lives in Sochi, my ex-English teacher, and she told me that they destroyed the whole city.
Yeah.
They changed it completely. It's not a city anymore. It's just a bunch of hotels and construction sites. But I think that for the Russian economy, for tourism and for just for the city itself, I think it's good. Why not?
Yes,
millions of dollars are spent, but they are inside the country. Who's going to use these hotels, these resorts, these places, these new roads? The Russian people are going to use them.
Yes, so, I agree. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good way to popularize the Russian resorts, because right now Russian people don't go to Sochi on vacation. They go to Turkey. It's cheaper, it's easier, and it's better to go to Turkey or to Egypt. Only the patriots and the adventurers actually go to the Russian south. But it's twice or three times more expensive than to go to Egypt or Turkey. And that's why I think it's a good way to popularize, to show that, well, see, we have a good place too. I'm totally for it. And I like sports. I think that Russia has always had talented sportsmen.
Mm-hmm.
Why not show it?
You know, we have this university games in Kazan.
Universiada.
Yes. So I guess that was maybe too much.
In 1 year, you mean the Olympic
Games?
Yes, because
that's quite a lot of things to, you know, a lot of money put into that. And I didn't see any point, especially in the opening ceremony of this university games, because it was too much for that kind of games. Because I didn't even know that type of games existed before that.
True. Yeah. So true. When my mother told me several years ago that there are going to be some university games in Kazan, I was like, what are they about? I didn't know until this year that these games exist.
Exactly. And for example, I just wanted to check, I opened, right after the opening ceremony, I opened the websites of, you know, certain publications of newspapers, magazines, foreign, like the Times or etc. And there was not a single mention of that type of games. Not a single one. Even in the sports page, no one knows about it.
But did you, by any chance, check the previous...
Games?
The previous years, yeah, the previous games.
No, I haven't.
That's interesting. Maybe that's the beginning. Maybe that's the first year this game.
We had some problems, especially here in Naberezhny Chelny, because I think that I wanted to talk about it. Because, first of
all the policemen went to Kazan.
Yes.
That's what I've heard.
All the policemen, plus all the people who took care of the city of Naberezhny Chelny. Like, we have Gorzelenkhoz, which takes good care of, you know, all the trees and flowers and everything, so that the city looks great. So that's why this year... we had some problems with it, so the city was not well kept. And secondly,
and I know that all the homeless people from Kazan were put to Naberezhny Chelny.
Really? No, yes. I haven't noticed it.
Yeah, for real. The homeless people, the so-called bomzhi, were collected in Kazan.
Oh my god!
And brought to Naberezhny Chelny.
Well, of course, we lacked them. We had such a shortage of bomzhi here in Naberezhny Chelny.
In Naberezhny Chelny, there was detected a shortage of homeless people.
Yeah.
And so, that's why...
Yeah, but I also know... Okay. Because I was traveling... I had a trip to our, you know, village... here nearby with my father and some of my uncles, and they talked about it because a lot of people, how do you call it, they are of professions like teachers and not businessmen,
Social workers.
Social workers, yeah, who don't work for private companies. And they didn't receive a salary, so for like 3 or 4 months already.
Really?
Yes, just because of that, because all the money was given to Kazan to repair the city, to host all these people there.
They didn't even ask whether they agree to give the money to Kazan.
Exactly. So it was just forced, because who do they get money from? Of course, these people. So, and also pensioners, some pensioners that didn't get some their pensions. And
listen, I don't really understand. How is that possible to not give the money, to not give the salary? On a certain date.
They say that we will give it to you, but not today. So they postpone
but
the date.
I know, but the citizens have bills to pay, have food to buy, have children to school and so on. I know that this practice exists. Mm-hmm. And I know, I remember when my brother worked in Kamaz, he didn't receive his money for months.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in Russia it's a normal practice to withhold the
it's
salary.
Horrible, yeah.
But I don't know, how do people survive when you don't receive the salary for months, for like 2, 3, 4 months,
mm-hmm.
and when you are a man and you have a family to take care of, how do you survive? Where do you find the means?
Well, I think that the biggest question is here: why do we tolerate it?
And why do we tolerate it? Exactly.
Yeah.
But another, I guess it's... Another reason for demonstration.
True, yeah. We talked about it, yeah. We tend to tolerate so much. And when I hear, because some of my friends work for Kamaz, and they say, well, it's like the third month or fourth month that I didn't
How?
Receive my salary.
How? Why? Why do you still,
why do you still
there?
Work there?
Yes, why? I don't understand. I don't understand it.
People are afraid and people are lazy because they...
I think they are more lazy than afraid.
Yes,
they are
true.
Lazy.
Yeah.
They're lazy to to get out of their comfort zone, to show that they are not content with the situation. Mm-hmm. They're lazy. People are lazy.
So I never understood why people work in KAMAZ. It, not only the salary is very
just the whole idea. Why do they do work there?
True, yes.
Why do you work in KAMAZ? I remember even several years ago, I think 2 years ago, one of my friends had an interview in KAMAZ. She was applying for the position of a translator. And they gave her an article to translate, a printed dictionary, you know, a very old Soviet-type dictionary, and 30 minutes time. And she had to use this dictionary, and she was not allowed to use computer. Of course, I can understand that. A good translator can translate with a printed dictionary, no problem, yeah? But the question is, why?
Yeah.
Why is it bad to use a computer? It's not an exam. It doesn't test your knowledge. If you know the language, you can only prove it. But if you don't know the language, the computer will not help you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point? I really didn't understand the point. When you have a translator in your company, of course you want the translator to do the job as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
With the help of computers, of course.
Yeah,
because
true.
The computers help. This electronic dictionaries help. If you have a printed, how do you call it, printed dictionary? then of course it would take much more time to find the word, to find these word combinations, to think about that. So what's the point? All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you very much.
And have a fantastic day. Talk to you later. Bye.
Goodbye.
Lots of books and discussions at www.lingvistov.ru.